This week's episode of Book Hype is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype.
Welcome to Book Hype, Hypeable's book podcast. This week, I'm joined by Tarek, who's been a world traveler and been out of the country for a month. Welcome back, Tarek.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Marima, who is always out of country because she lives in Australia. But
yay! Woo! I'm in the future.
That's true. You are always in the future. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So this week's topics are going to be trends in YA, which is really cool and fun to talk about because they're constantly changing and everyone always wants to know what the new trend's going to be, how long a trend's going to last, and all of that great stuff. But first, we're going to start off with what we've been reading this week or this past couple of weeks, depending. Or for Tarek, this past couple of 6 weeks, because we haven't heard from him in a long time. So what have you guys been reading? Is there anything exciting and new that you want to tell the world about that you've been reading?
Well, I am still reading Game of Thrones 1, which is really bad. I brought it on the plane with me so that I can, like, finally get it done. And then I read, like, 3 chapters and I got bored, and so I put it down and I watched, like, 5 episodes of Shameless, which the plane had, which is really good. And then I'm also, I met someone in London and he gave me a book called The Book Thief, and I have no idea what it's about, but I just started it like a couple of days ago.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. It's
amazing.
So far, I like it. I honestly have no idea what I'm getting into because I haven't read the back of it at all and I haven't looked up any plot summaries. Like, and the guy told me about it and he said something about something that I can't remember, but I like that. I like going into something without knowing about it. I feel like it's adventurous in a way, so I'm excited for that.
I'm actually teaching my kids that for literature. Like, that's what we're doing in literature class this quarter, or last quarter. We just finished it. So
I'm jealous.
Yeah, they were so excited about it too, which I wasn't sure that they were going to be, but they were really excited about it and they really liked it. And they were even more excited when they found out that it's being filmed as a movie right now. They were like, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So it was great. Tarek, I think you're really gonna love it. It's very unique and very just, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. So
I love that book. It's like I've never read anything like that book in my life, and it's by an Australian, so like represent.
What are you reading?
Well, yeah, like Tarek, I'm still like kind of bashing my way through the second Game of Thrones. I'm getting there like very slowly. I actually read this book recently. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. It's called Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore. It's by Robin Sloan. It's this really cool mix of like books and technology, and I would call it like a YA book, but I don't think anyone like really knows about it. Seems like a pretty small thing. It just came out kind of recently, but I would definitely recommend that because it was really fun and it was about like these secret cults and like, I don't know, setting up websites and making apps for like old bookstores and stuff. It was really funny. And the other one that I read recently was called Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple. And I guess that's more of an adult book, but it's not really like adult in themes. It's just sort of centered around an adult character. And that's kind of like a weird, quirky mystery, family drama, school thing. So that was a terrible description, but I would definitely recommend both of those. They were very unique in different ways.
Excellent. I have been reading, I finished Clockwork Princess, which anyone who is a fan of Cassandra Clare's Clockwork series knows that it was the last book in the trilogy, and it is fantastically done. She did not disappoint in ending that series at all. So good. And then I've been reading Going Vintage by Lindsay Lovett, which is this really, really fun contemporary YA romance, I guess. It's about this girl who kind of gets burned by a boyfriend who's ends up cheating online on her. So she decides that she's going to give up all technology and go vintage. And so she does everything about her becomes this very old fashioned style, which is really funky and fun. And so it's this story about giving up boys completely and going back to the basics. And it was just really cute and really fun and just really well done. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't overly, you know, sappy or overly, you know, and sometimes they get a little bit much, and it wasn't at all. It was really fun.
It sounds like the opposite of Breaking Amish and like, probably, like becoming, yeah, Amish.
No, this is...
I really want to read that. That's like just come out or it's coming out soon or something.
Going Vintage?
Yeah.
It just came out last week. It came out Tuesday.
I keep seeing like that kind of floating around the internet. I really want to read that.
It's super fun. I think you'll like it a lot, actually.
Cool.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. And I just read the third book in the Eve trilogy called Rise. And again, it was a really great finish to a trilogy. I love it when you get the third book in a series and that third book actually is fulfilling. And it kind of, even if it's not exactly what you want out of a third book, like it doesn't fulfill, like it's not your wish fulfillment book, it still ends soundly and really, really well. And you can get on board with it. So Rise was another really good book. And that was by Anne Carey.
See, that's how I feel about the third Hunger Games book.
Yeah.
What, that it wasn't like that or that it was?
That it was like that. Like I was okay. I was satisfied, but I was still like,
yeah.
I wish it.
All your dreams didn't come true. So
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
It happens because not all readers are going to always get what they want, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works sometimes. So that's kind of what I've been reading. I also, like, I have piles of books. I just got a ton of really cool new stuff in. So I'm really excited to kind of get into that new stack of things and get reading. What did I get? Oh, I got the second book in the Venom series. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's by Fiona Paul. So I'm really excited about that one as well. It looks really good.
You're trying to make us really jealous with your, like, big piles of all your things to read.
No, yeah, but, like, it's so hard because I have to make time to read, and there are weeks that there aren't enough hours in the day. So yeah. It's unfortunate, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm hunkering down this weekend and doing nothing because I had today off. So like I kind of got some stuff in today. And then I figure between Saturday and Sunday, I'll have plenty of time because it's Easter on Sunday. And the only thing I'm doing tomorrow is watching Doctor Who probably like 5 times once it's aired. So, you know.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I have my
priorities. I'm so excited.
That was happening.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, so yeah,
it just
I know we're all like Doctor Who.
This just turned into a whole other podcast.
That's for Sunday
night.
Who Hype will be happening on Sunday. We'll have a brand new one out for you to discuss that amazing episode that's coming on Saturday. So yeah, so that's basically what my plan is to read. So if I'm not like sleeping or working or, you know, doing the other things in life, which are basically sleeping and working, I'm reading or writing articles or that's pretty much as exciting as it gets for me. But it's not a bad thing.
Jen, Tariq, and Marima are going to continue with today's episode of Book Hype in just a moment. But first, it is time to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Book Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their very great service. Our recommendation this week is actually a book that we're talking about on the show today. It's Mind Games by Kirsten White. Two sisters, bound by impossible choices, are determined to protect each other, no matter the cost. You're hearing us talk about it. Now you can get it for free. Just visit audiblepodcast.com/bookhype for a free audiobook of your choice. That could very well be Mind Games by Kirsten White. We thank Audible for their support of Book Hype.
The next thing we're going to do is we have our book bite section, which is kind of fun. And it's where we pick a topic kind of related to books and discuss it. So the topic we are going to discuss this time is when you start reading a book or a series or a specific author, and then the books start to become similar to you after a while, like you know that they're similar, and yet you keep buying the books or keep reading the books. It's like book crack. You can't put it down, even though you know how this author writes, what the storyline is, what the style is, and you can expect it to kind of be the same. You don't give up on the author. You keep going back for more. And why is that? So that's our topic.
I'm having a giggle fit because it sounded like butt crack, but with the long U.
Sorry. Book crack. Book crack.
Okay.
There we go. Just to clarify for Tarek. Who's clearly a 2-year-old.
I'm sorry.
He's jet-lagged. He's jet-lagged.
Yes, very jet-lagged. Anyway, I like this book bite topic just because the subject that the author that I feel this way about is Dan Brown. And I've discussed it on Hypeable because we wrote a story about one of his newest books coming out, and I commented about how all of his books are the same. And it's still satisfying to read, except at the same time, very boring to read, and you know exactly what's going to happen, but you still read it anyway, because I feel like it's kind of like the way I describe it is kind of like Castle or Bones or one of those like crime dramas that basically solve a crime every week. It's basically the same exact formula that they're doing every week, but with just different circumstances. But it's addicting.
Yeah. I get what you mean. I think the female equivalent of Dan Brown is like Jodi Picoult, who writes those like...
So true!
You know, those like drama, medical or like law drama things. And I'm like, she's written like 30 or something, and they're all the same. I've read a few of them because like my mom buys them and I can't help it. I like just have to sneak them so and like
blame them
take
on
them
your
home
mom.
And like, sure. I'm serious. Like I can't, I don't know why. It's the same thing with Dan Brown. Like I've read more Dan Brown than I would like to admit, but thank God I'm not going to read that new one. But like I've also given up Jodi Picoult. It's like they're all the same, and you know what's going to happen. But like Tarek said, you have to read it anyway. You're like, but maybe this one will be different. Like maybe this one, I don't know, something will change, but it never does. And then it like serves you right for wasting your time on it. But yeah, it's very formulaic.
Yes. And the prime example of this, and I do not read him. I want to be very clear about this, but the prime example, you know what I'm going to say?
Go on.
Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The ultimate example, because he just has this sob story over here. You have this love triangle. Someone's good. Someone's bad. Oh, look, someone dies. Oh, look, over here, someone has cancer. Someone dies. So, like,
yeah,
they really should have a drinking game around his books. So it's like, who's going to die in this book? Or what are they going to die of in this book? Because honestly, it is the same exact thing every time you read a book.
I saw this thing on Tumblr the other day, actually, and it was like Nicholas Sparks books, and it had all of the book covers. And it was like, Nicholas Sparks writes books about white people almost kissing. And it was like, the cover for every one of his books was the same.
It's so true.
Oh my God, I need to see that.
You know, and like all of his movies that he's made, like have the same,
thing on them. Someone dies of cancer. Oh, it's bad. It's so, so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of authors like that. But then again, like, there's this Australian author, like going onto something that's a bit less like sob story, Matthew Riley. I don't know if you guys know him. He writes like kind of adventure thriller novels, and they're all like pretty similar, but I would say they share like a similar formula, but he changes enough in each one that you don't mind. And I think that's like a good example of an author that uses that, but in like a constructive way, you know? So like all of his novels are like, oh, lots of guns and fights and like drama and tension and swearing, but you know, there's a little bit different. So you're like a little bit surprised each time.
Just enough different. Yeah, I mean, we all have those reads that we're like, oh, I know going in that it's going to be A plus B equals C, but I still really like the way the author writes. It could do with author style. It could do with the way the characters come across. Because I know there are definitely things that I've read, and I know what, you know, it's going to be a happily ever after, or it's going to come up a certain way, and I'm still reading it, and I'm still looking for the next book when they come out. So I'm guilty as well.
Oh, well, like, it's not a new phenomenon. Like, I love Agatha Christie, and I have read, like, every Agatha Christie. Like, I have an entire bookshelf just dedicated to her stuff. But all her books are, like, the same. But even though they're all the same, I can never work out who does it before I get to the end.
Well,
even though I know all of the signs of it, so it's okay, you know? It's like...
It's still quality writing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But she still kind of goes through this formula of all of the books, so... But you kind of don't mind. Everyone go read Agatha Christie. She's the best.
Well, so if you guys have any thoughts or comments or opinions or any authors that you know are just very formulaic and yet you love to read them anyway, please feel free to leave that in the comments so that you share in our pain and our junky addiction to books that we know how they're going to go, but we read them anyway. We know you're out there. Mm. You do the same thing. But now we're going to move on to our topic, which is trends in young adult literature and some adult literature, which I'm not as familiar with, so it won't be as in-depth there because I just don't know it. But we're going to talk about YA lit and trends in YA lit and most recent trends, in case you've been living under a rock and somehow missed it. First came the vampires. All their sparkly and not sparkly glory to take over all of YA literature. Then came the dystopian novel. Everyone's sob story in a horrible world, trying to find usually love, believe it or not, as in a dystopian backdrop. So those are the two things that kind of have dominated young adult literature over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 years. With Twilight, give or take, and I know some people will argue that fact, but really, let's face it, Twilight is what brought vampires onto the forefront, and then lots of other things came in and made them incredibly popular. So looking at that, we've had vampires for a really long time. We've had The Vampire Academy by Rachel Reed, which is a really cool series, and that's kind of come out and it spawned multiple different story arcs and different series. We have the Blue Blood series by Melissa De La Cruz, and that's also had one whole series through, and we've had the novels by PC Cast and her daughter Kristen Cast, and that's also a huge series. It's got like 10 books in it. And then of course, if you go way, way back, you have LJ Smith, who originally wrote The Vampire Diaries, which came out ages before Twilight, but only recently became popular again with the TV show coming out on the CW.
Those books are so different from the TV show. It was an off comment.
Drastically different from the TV show. And that's what you find a lot, I think, too. But that's for another conversation, Tara.
Yeah, sorry.
for a different time. So then we have that. And then you have the Sookie Stackhouse novels, which came out and then, again, were popular, have become incredibly popular, and again, are tied to a TV show. So the TV shows for those two series came out after vampires became more prevalent in reading and literature at the time. So does that make sense? Do you guys agree with that? Do you disagree with that?
I agree. I like don't have much to say about the vampire trend because honestly, I haven't read any of those books. I don't know why. I was just never that interested in it. I guess maybe, and this will be a popular opinion, Twilight is one of the only books that I've ever started and haven't finished because I just really didn't enjoy it. And maybe that I found that quite off-putting, but I don't know. I've heard of all those books and I know some of them are really great, but I have never read any of them. And I've never read any like vampire fiction and I'm not sure why that is. Maybe I'm too much of a hipster and it's like too mainstream or something.
No, that's really weird because you made me think about it. I'm like trying to think about any vampire books that I've read, and I haven't read a single vampire. Say that! I read Twilight!
I know! You've read all of Twilight, so...
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's a separate conversation. But like...
But yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I feel like vampire fiction is, like, very specific to certain readers. Like, it's not like dystopian, how it's crossed over into, like, all kinds of people read it. I think, like, specific people go and read it because it's vampire fiction. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
I mean, I don't know. I think for Twilight, it was a very different audience, and the audience was massive. It was very widespread. It was highly female, and it was, yeah. And it was, you know, generations of females. It wasn't just teens. It wasn't just adults. It spanned a huge generation gap. So I think it was kind of a phenomena in and of itself as to how it reached people. So, I mean, there's that. But, like, honestly, Twilight's really one of the only... I never read vampire fiction before that. And then... Because sometimes I found it to be, like, over-sexualized or over kind of dumbed down a little bit. And, like, I never... Every time I tried to read something, I was like, oh, this is just isn't interesting to me. So it took a little while for me to, like, even be comfortable reading vampire fiction because I just wasn't interested in it. So I'm kind of like you in that sense. Like, it's just not something that overwhelmingly appeals to me.
So that's what my problem is, I think. But I've never, like, given it a go, really, to try it out.
Oh, I've tried. It didn't go well. So we had the vampire fiction. And then on the end of the vampires, as vampires were slowly making their way kind of to their peak, we started to see a rise in dystopian fiction. And now you can't pick up a novel without it having some element of dystopia in it. I mean, it is everywhere. And it's The Hunger Games. It is Divergent. It, you know, pick one. There, you literally walk into a bookstore, walk into the young adult section, and 90% of the books are probably dystopian. So, or have a dystopian element to them. So that's kind of the new it trend right now. And that's, it's, I think dystopian has kind of reached its peak in a sense, and we'll start to see other things emerge, or we'll start to see things blending with dystopian. So it won't just be about this civilization that's lost and it's been through war and it's awful, and there'll be other things like aliens or, you know, other sci-fi topics mixed in with this dystopian world that we're seeing, which to me makes it a little bit more interesting. But
this is like definitely much more my area of interest.
Yeah.
I know you don't like it.
It's not even that. I don't know. I have so much trouble. Like, I can only take so much gloom and doom and sadness and, you know, in one book. Like, some dystopians are incredibly well written. I respect them for how they're written. I appreciate them for what they are. But it's not something I want to pick up on my free time when I'm, you know, for fun to read, because they're not fun. They're so kind of dark.
Those are the best.
I love that.
Tarek, you love death. I know you want all the characters to die, and like, I get it. I'm good with that. But that's not what I want to read for fun. Like, I don't know. I like more fun, upbeat stories. And again, that's a personal preference. It's not a commentary on dystopian novels in any way. It's a personal preference for me. But I've read them. I've read them, and I, you know, so I'm knowledgeable about them so that I know what's out there. But they're not always in my free time, they're not my go-to choice, if you know what I mean.
Although, like, I would agree with what you said about they kind of blend into each other. Anyone that has read my articles on Hyperbole will know that I am a huge sci-fi fan and like a huge fan of, I guess, quote unquote, classic literature. And so dystopian isn't really like a new genre in books, but it's just sort of reached this peak in YA at the moment. And the interesting thing about it is it's like, it's this very specific type of dystopia that we're seeing, like the kind of Hunger Games divergent societies that you were talking about. And in the past, like, that hasn't been what dystopian literature is about. Like, there was this huge range of things. Like, you could have something like Lord of the Flies would be considered a dystopian society novel, or 1984 and Fahrenheit 451, like those kinds of things. And obviously, like, you know, like Brave New World and all these things, like that was published in the 30s, you know, so it's like 100 years ago now. And, but they're like a much wider range of dystopia, I think. And you get all these different types of societies and different types of characters. And for some reason, it's sort of narrowed its focus in YA recently. And so you always get like, oh, the cool female protagonist, and like, so she's down in society, but you know, they're suppressing her or like whatever. But, yeah, I still really enjoy it because I do like those books.
Yeah. I mean, I think you make a great point that dystopia is not new. Like, anyone who's taken any kind of high school English class has had to read a dystopian novel. I mean, that's just, you should have at least. And if you haven't, then well, I don't know.
I have not. I did not. Tarek. They told me to. And I was like, screw you. Oh, okay. I'm not reading what you tell me to.
It was a personal, you were a little defiant then in school is what you're trying to tell
yes,
me.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
but for the most part, we've all read like 1984 or A Brave New World or one of the ones that you actually mentioned. Those are typical high school reading requirements here. So we all kind of have been exposed to it. And again, it is just this concentration of it, I think, is what I find so overwhelming. Like, you can't pick up a novel without it having these strong elements of a dystopian world in them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think I find so surprising. And in like some cases, like in Lauren Oliver's Delirium series, it is basically a world where love is a disease. And so they have to eradicate love. So you go through an operation when you're 16, 18. I think it's 16, actually. Sorry if I'm messing it up. It's been a while since I read the book. I think it's 16. And you have to go through this operation and you can't love, and then they choose your partner for you. So a lot of them actually have like this love element to them or this romance element to them. Like Matched has the same thing. It's a society where they pick your partner. So like Matched, Delirium, there's that group of dystopian. Then you have the group of dystopian, like the Hunger Games, where it's all about survival, and there you have a dystopian and a utopian world kind of mixed together. And, you know, and even Divergent kind of has that theme a little bit, where you have
definitely
that two, those two sets of, you know, societal rules and stuff. So, I mean, you're looking at it, and so you have that group of, you know, dystopian kind of novels. And then you have somewhat fantasy novels that have, again, this dystopian backdrop of a world. So there are other elements mixed in with it, but a lot of it is just, I think, for selling points. And again, it's a trend. It's what's selling well. It's what people got hooked on, just like people got hooked on vampires. So that's kind of what's emerging, is this dystopian backdrop to various different types of stories. And people love it. I mean, a lot of the kids I teach, like, eat these books up. Like, they can't get enough of them. Like, I've taught The Hunger Games in class, you know. I've let them read Divergent. I hadn't actually teach it, but we did read Divergent, like...
I want to be in your class. Individually. Yeah. That's awesome.
Because if I'm going to teach literature, it's going to be fun. Because, I mean, I work with, you know, a really unique population of kids. I can't teach them 1984 or Brave New World and have them be excited about it. It's just not going to happen. So, but I can teach The Hunger Games, which has very similar elements, so we can talk about both. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I see when you, it's still teaching the same stuff, it's just doing it in a different way. And then it's the same with, like, we did, instead of reading Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, we read Kenneth Opel's This Dark Endeavor, which is a really fantastic young Frankenstein book set in like, in the 1800s, and, like, Victorian, it's not England, but... Switzerland. Like, it's very gothic, right? And very fun, and it had a lot of things, again, that we could relate, but it still wasn't boring, as the kids would say.
See, that's so funny, because like, I did literature at school and we did study Frankenstein, and I was that kid that was really excited about it.
Yes, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
I'm a big nerd and I like that stuff.
Yeah, well, and so... like, I don't mind Frankenstein, but to reach my students, it would have been really, really tricky. You have to kind of sneak it in on them when they're not looking.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, that's one of the best things about a dystopian. Like, maybe it goes for vampires as well, but honestly, I just don't know that much about it. But I would like to think that a kid that has read The Hunger Games and has read Divergent and has read Matched and all these things would then be like, oh, well, like, what else can I read? And maybe would go and read 1984 or Brave New World or something like that, which I just think are such fabulous books. And if, like, reading these kinds of things introduces people to that more classic dystopian literature, then I think it does its job. And obviously it makes a lot of money as well.
Yeah, and a couple of, you know, movies and TV shows and
a couple of things here and there.
Yeah. Well, with Divergent starting to film now, I think we're only going to see more dystopian for a while longer until that series kind of wraps up. And then on television even, and here's the parallel between what's popular in young adult literature and what's popular on TV. Because when we had the rise of Twilight, we now have The Vampire Diaries on TV, we now have True Blood on TV, because vampires were kind of the it thing. Okay, now we have, you know, Hunger Games, Divergent, very popular, both being made into film. We all also now have Revolution, which isn't based on a book, but is a dystopian novel. We have The Selection going to pilot. We have Delirium going to pilot. There's a bunch of stuff on Sci-Fi that has, you know, all kinds of stuff, like Continuum and Defiance. All of those things are all very dystopian. And so we have that now because of what's hot in young adult fiction, which I think is really interesting that we have a book market for young adults that's kind of driving TV in a sense.
Yeah, so, it's really weird how one genre of books is like basically like saying, "Hey world, this is what's popular. Go follow this, read this and watch this." And you have the whole world doing this. And like, yeah, there are a lot of people who like don't like those genres or won't do it, but it's amazing how much of a grip young adult has on societies and the trends in society as well, and like all of those stuff. Like, it's mind-blowing to think that like
what I agree with that.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to see that people can come up with a vampire thing and then everyone's also like, oh yes, vampires, and then as soon as that's over, people are like, oh yes, dystopians, and then like fairy tales were big for a while, and sorry on my mind.
It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about some of the trends that are coming up and are up and coming at the moment and why they're up and coming. And some of them, when you hear the trend, I think you guys will be able to guess why they're up and coming. Others might be a little bit different and be a little more like, ooh, where's that coming? So first, we're going to talk about sci-fi, because sci-fi is definitely on the rise. Alien books this year coming out. There are so many coming out. And so many that have... There's some that kind of started maybe a couple years ago and have been slowly building steam. But this year in particular is kind of like the year of the alien, I think, in a lot of ways. So I'm really excited about that because I think aliens are cool. So why do you guys think the reason sci-fi time travel, aliens, all that good stuff. Why do you think that's hot right now?
I think it has a lot to do with Star Trek and like all that. Like, I feel like Star Trek got people into thinking, oh, this is really awesome again. Like when the new movie came out,
yeah,
like a year or two years ago or however long it was, I think that's when a lot of people were like, this is really awesome. Like for me, I've never watched the Star Trek TV shows or like Battleship Galactica or
Battlestar Galactica. Please, again, hate mail to Derek.
See, I never watched any of that, but when Star Trek came out, I was like, this is an awesome movie, and I think that's
They're
what
really
got me
attractive in that movie.
And so I feel like that is really what made sci-fi kind of, and gave it like the jumping boost that it needed to get popular.
Yeah, or...
And Doctor Who as well.
I was going to say, there's this little show called Doctor Who that's kind of slowly sweeping America on every possible way.
Yeah, I would say like, since Doctor Who has been huge for ages, but not in America for some reason, you guys like missed out on that.
Yeah, the reboot.
So now that it's like jumped on over there, it seems like the sci-fi thing is really picking up.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways... Doctor Who has really kind of brought sci-fi in the States kind of to a different level, because Who is so family friendly on so many levels, and it's just so unique and quirky, and it encompasses lots of different sci-fi elements. You have aliens, you have time travel, you have all these really cool things that are in this one show. And so I think you can pick one of those elements and be writing books about them. You know, books don't have to encompass everything that Who is, but time travel is definitely on the rise over the last like 2 to 3 years. There's been about 7 different novels that I can think of off the top of my head that are time travel related that are awesome. I mean, they're all really well done. They sell well. People like time travel. Time travel is cool. And like I said, this is definitely the year of the alien. There's at least 3 books, 4 books that I can think of off the top of my head coming out that are going to be really, really awesome. And they're all alien-based, which is fun because they're all different kinds of aliens, which I think is really awesome, because that's the really fun part about having an alien as a character, because aliens don't have to be E.T. You know, they can be anything. They don't have to have the funny little shaped heads. They don't have to be green Martians. They can be human and be alien. There's so many different things you can do with a character that's alien. Just, you can make your character anything. Like, for example, the Lux series by Jennifer L. Armentrout has aliens in it, and they're aliens that are based on light. So in their true form, they're just light. They don't have like a specific form, which is really kind of cool. And again, very different. And it's not something that is typical in a novel these days. So I think it's really cool when you can kind of manipulate your character and take them someplace different, you know, and
see, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
See, that reminds me of, well, 2 things. One, it reminds me of my stepsister from Planet Weird, which is that weird Disney Channel movie about an alien who is a bubble. Her true form is a bubble. She
you
lives
would
in a
reference
bubble
a Disney Channel show.
I would. Mm. And so I feel like it's really weird, because during this whole conversation, I've been thinking about books that and TV shows and movies in the past who I feel like would have blown up if they were released today. Like, I feel like the City of Ember would have probably gotten more popular had it been released now, as opposed to when it did, because it's a dystopian novel, and it's a fun read. It's a kid's book, but it's a fun read.
It's actually really good too. I enjoyed the City of Ember.
Yeah, I did. I didn't enjoy the sequel as much, but I did enjoy City of Ember a lot, and I feel like it's interesting because this conversation is just making me think of all of those other different things. And I lost my second point, but yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like a big fan of this trend. So Jen, you're going to have to give me a list of all these alien books. Go and read them. But I also think like sci-fi is one of those things that it's kind of always around, but a lot of readers found it very intimidating before. And like you were saying, things like Doctor Who and Star Trek have made it so much more accessible. And so people don't think like, oh, you know, sci-fi is... like people with long names on planets that I can't pronounce and like that sort of thing, which is part of sci-fi, but not all of sci-fi. And obviously I'm a big sci-fi fan, so this is a trend I'm fully behind.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it as well. Go ahead.
Do you think that the big thing with aliens is partly to do with like the host being so popular? Do you think that's
why people are... to that part. That's the other thing, is the host is releasing it, released today, actually, in the States. And I saw it on Tuesday, and it's actually a really solid adaptation. And I think that the better the host does, the more books on aliens we'll see. Because, again, we're looking at things that drive trends, and the film industry, if you have successful films that are based on one kind of thing, that also drives trends. And it's Stephenie Meyer. You know, she's had a very successful film franchise. I think what you want about the book, the franchise made a lot of money. And it did well.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're looking, you know, people look at it that way as well. So with the rise of the host, if it does well and it is successful, you're going to see people looking for more alien books, because that's going to be the hot new trend. And obviously, I think it's already headed that way, but I think that will only enhance it. It definitely won't hinder it.
You see, I recorded Hype this morning, and Andrew said that The Host was a horrible movie.
Really?
Yeah, he said, and it's getting really bad reviews on Rotten Tomato. It has 9%.
Wow.
And yeah, and so it's just like, for some reason, I'm not into this alien trend at all. Like, I feel like whenever I think of an alien in a book, I'm just like, my mind kind of shuts it out automatically for no reason, really. And it's just, it's really bizarre. And having The Host do so badly so far is not making me want to go read it or any other alien book.
Here's the thing about The Host. Okay. The Host is a very hefty novel. It's long. And I would say the first third of The Host is kind of boring. Like, I'm not going to lie. The novel is boring. The movie itself, though, when we get past the boring part of the novel, is a reasonable adaptation of the book. So looking at it from that standpoint, going in, and I'm seeing the things that made the book, the people that liked the book, they were there. So, do you know what I mean? The things that people liked about the book were there. So that makes it a good adaptation. It's not, like, off the charts different. It hasn't changed the ending or a bunch of other stuff. So it fits as an adaptation. I didn't mind it as a movie. I mean, there are parts that are slow that aren't overwhelmingly like, oh my God, I love it. But it wasn't a horrible movie either. So I don't know. Coming at it from someone who's read the book and sees it for what it is as an adaptation, that's how I see it. I'm not saying like, oh my God, 5 stars, gotta go see it. But it's not a bad movie. Clearly, Andrew has a different taste. But.
Yeah.
I haven't read The Host, but I imagine the movie is kind of targeting a specific audience, like in a similar way to Twilight did. And I'm sure amongst that audience, it will be very popular. But maybe just not by like snobby film critics, aka Andrew.
Well, and see, that's kind of how it always works out. Like, Twilight never got a good review, and it still made bank every time.
Well, exactly. You know? And, like, it's the ones that are rare. Like, even Hunger Games, it got some good reviews, but they weren't like, wow, this movie is, you know, the best movie ever made. So some of them cross over, but most of them don't, honestly. And they still do well. So yeah, there'll still be a sequel.
Critics are not their fan base. Do you know what I mean? Like, their fan base is the people who read the book and love the book. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And now we're going to talk about Twisted Fairy Tales, which is one of my personal favorites. I love a good fairy tale. I'm not going to lie. Like, I love Once Upon a Time and all that good stuff. But the Twisted Fairy Tales bring something new to the table, or kind of the twisted retellings as well. That's really what I should have put there. Both of those kind of are also on the rise right now. And again, there is some connection to Once Upon a Time there, but it also started pre-Once Upon a Time with books like Cinder, which is a really cool book because it's this combination of sci-fi and twisted fairy tale. Cinder is essentially this concept of a Cinderella, but she's a cyborg. So it's a really cool idea.
That sounds so bizarre.
I know.
That was cool. I liked that book.
Yeah. And then the second one just came out, Scarlet, which, you know, has to do with Little Red Riding Hood. So it's kind of got these cool twisted things going on. There's also there's also another one that's a retelling of Robin Hood. And it's also called Scarlet, and it's by A.C. Gowan. And that one is wicked cool because Will Scarlet is actually a girl.
That sounds way fun. Loved I want to read book. That so bad.
Loved that book. It was so fantastic. So we've been seeing a lot of that kind of coming at us in a lot of different ways. And there's some really great things out there that, you know, there's The Strands of Bronze and Gold, which is something we're going to be reading for book club. And that one's a retelling of Bluebeard, which I thought was really cool. There's also a retelling of Alice in Wonderland, which is Splintered by A.G. Howard. It's a really funky kind of retelling, too. It's got a really interesting cover. So there's a lot of that coming out right now as well, on top of things like Once Upon a Time. And now Once Upon a Time spinoff for Hatter. So we're seeing a lot of that coming forward.
I just realized that I read one of those books like 2 months ago called, I have it in my Kindle. One moment while I pop open my Kindle. It's a really good book. It's called, I just realized I read one of those books like a couple of months ago, and it's called The Book of Lost Things by John Connolly. Have either of you read that?
Oh, I remember you talking
about
that.
Yeah, I think you talked about it, but yeah. I have not read it, no.
A friend of mine recommended it to me, and it's basically about this boy who gets transported into, like, a different world that's essentially, like, all the fairy tales, in, like, just kind of like in a Once Upon a Time kind of way, except they're all very dark and twisted, and he meets the seven dwarfs, and they don't want to take him to their cottage because Snow White is a fat bitch. Like, literally, like, she's huge, and she bosses them around, and she tricked herself into staying at the dwarf's house, or took the dwarves, and her Prince Charming ran away with some other pretty little trick. And so it's, like, it's really interesting, and it's about how he has to meet the king of the kingdom to get out of it. And so...
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, The Book of Lost Things.
Yeah, I'm going to read that. Now I can read it on my Kindle. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Just a little Amazon. This episode of Kype is sponsored by Amazon.
Yeah. We wish. No, but there's also one called Enchanted. And it's kind of like a retelling of The Frog Prince. Lots of stuff out there that lends itself to this kind of new look on a fairy tale, which is always really, really fun because everybody knows a fairy tale. Like, it's there, you know what it's about. But when it's kind of changed up and it's done in such a way that is appealing and kind of really takes you on a whole different journey, I always find that really, really cool. I don't know about you guys, but I love it.
Really,
yeah, I agree.
It's so interesting because fairy tales tend to pop up. It looks like they always pop up, at least in America, when America's going through, like, a financial crisis. Because during the recession is when, like, all these, like, things started popping up more. And, like, Disney started getting bigger, and they started coming out with, like, Tangled and stuff. And it's interesting because during the Great Depression and, like, during that time, classic fairy tales were huge as well. And that's when, like, Disney really started getting a boost. And so it's really interesting to think that people like an escape. And no matter what kind of, like, if you're reading a dystopian or if you're reading a sci-fi novel, it's not as fun of an escape from reality as a fantasy or a fairy tale book. So I like the fact that they always pop up during these weird times, at least in the US, is really interesting.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think the other funny thing about fairy tales is, like, so many people's experience or knowledge of fairy tales comes from the Disney versions, but they're not the actual fairy tales. Like, they're like a twisted fairy tale in themselves, but twisted to, like, be family friendly. So, like, I really like this trend now that we're going towards more of the darker fairy tales. And it's kind of, even though they're different, it's taking them back to their roots, because they did started off being these, like, super twisted, super dark things, or, like, everyone's dead, or everyone feels like they're, like, walking on knives, or, you know, everyone's
the shoe fits. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I much prefer that version of Cinderella to Disney's.
Like, that, it's so interesting to think that, like, we had this change to this really family-friendly, sweet thing with Disney. And I'm not saying that's not popular, because of course it's still hugely popular, but it's interesting that it's turning back around on itself and kind of going back to how it started. And I definitely want to read more of these books because they sound really fun.
I think in a lot of ways people have, in kids especially, they're kind of into the more realistic aspect of things. Like, they don't believe in happily ever after. You know what I mean? Happily ever after isn't what it used to be. It's not all sweet and innocent, and not everyone's going to get their happily ever after. And I think a lot of things have kind of taken our society in that direction. And so literature and TV and all of those things that influence us kind of on a daily basis now are reflecting that. There's no hiding behind a fairy tale that's sweet and innocent and isn't all this lovely and everyone turns out in the end and everything's fine and everyone's happy. I think in the end, people realize that. And I guess we should really, give a nod to Maguire, Gregory Maguire, because really started this idea of the twisted fairy tale with all of his.
I can't believe I didn't think of him earlier.
Yeah, I mean,
to be honest, I did not like that book that much.
No,
all the sequels.
It's so hard to get through.
Yeah,
the show is great. It was much better as a musical.
Oh yeah, the musical is amazing, but the books are I like the realism of the books, but it just started getting weird. Like that they were having sex with an animal, and I was just like, what is going on? What is this? Yeah, and the language I feel like Gregory Maguire, like the concept of his books is amazing, but I feel like he tried too hard to make it into a certain style, like writing style wise, and it made it difficult to read-ish. So it's Wicked is definitely not one of those books that you just want to pick up.
Yeah, I found that difficult to get through as well. But like you said, the idea and the concept of it is brilliant.
Right, because he took a fairy tale and looked at it from the antagonist's point of view, which is really cool. And that's kind of the beginning of the ideas behind the twisted fairy tales that we see so frequently popping up now. So, and again, we'll have a list of the ones that we mentioned and some other ones that are coming out shortly. And then the last trend we were going to talk about is a fairly newer trend. And the books haven't necessarily hit yet, but a couple of them have. But they will be within the next year or so. You'll be seeing a lot more of them. And that's the idea behind this Teen Assassins, which I think is super cool because I always loved TV shows where people were assassins or spies and things like that. And that's kind of where these books are headed. And I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So
I don't know. I don't think I know a single book that has a teen assassin in it at all.
Mind Games by Kirsten White has a teen assassin in it. That's the most recent out. And like I said, the rest of them probably aren't coming out for a while yet. But they are coming.
I don't know what I think about this. I mean, I do know what I think about
it.
I don't like it. Yeah, it just makes me think of Spy Kids or something. I think for me,
it's a whole other level.
I just, like we have discussed, I'm a bit of a snob about books. And, I think I draw the line at kids who are assassins. I don't know if I can. Because, what are these books about? This is what I'm imagining. They go to boarding school, but instead of, finishing school, it's, assassin school. And then... It's am I on the right track?
No. there's one called, actually, there's two that have come out. Espionage and Etiquette is set in Victorian England, and it's by Gail Carriger. And it is, they go to finishing school, and they do learn, things about finishing school, and they also learn how to finish people off, if necessary.
I knew it.
It's set in Victorian England. If you've ever read anything of Gail Carriger, though, it is so fantastic. It's not cheesy in any way. It's really good.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about it just sounds really like you said, kind of cheesy and a bit kitschy. And
yeah, but
I don't know. I will give you this. This will be my challenge. You tell me the best one of these Teen Assassins books and I will read it.
Okay.
And then I will decide because I haven't read any, but I can't see myself getting into it, but I'll try it out.
All right. I will wait because there's some coming that aren't out yet. If I get my hands on one, I'll send it to you. But Mind Games is really cool because it's kind of a psychological thriller kind of assassin. She has special abilities. So she's an assassin where her sister is a seer. So there's not just elements of being a teen assassin in it. There are other things that play as well, specifically in Mind Games. But I found it to be a really fun novel. It was a good read. You never knew the answers to all the questions. It kept you guessing as you moved through the book. You didn't always know what was going to happen, which is always key in a book for me. I hate when I'm reading and I'm oh, so this is going to happen. And then in two chapters it does. So that's what I find. It was a well-written book and I don't know. I like the idea behind it. I was always a fan of shows that were like that though too. So.
I understand why people would like it. I just don't know if it's my kind of thing.
Right, dystopian's not my kind of thing. I'm with you. I understand. Exactly. I'm there.
I feel like Tarek would be into this, though. if you read something.
I don't know. Unless the assassins are hot boys, then I don't think
that's what I mean. That would be, that, this is to guarantee that one in the finishing school. Come on, there's going to be at least some, like, hot guys that are also, like, the bad guys or whatever.
Always. In Victorian England, you know, they're kind of posh.
I love that idea. I love
it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So I, wait, what's that one called again?
Espionage and Etiquette.
I might have to pick that one up.
It's really good. Yeah. And I love Gail Carriger on a whole. She writes some fantastic, like, steampunky novels. So, and this is part of that. This is, like, part of that same world that her steampunk series is placed in. So it's really cool. Her characters are well-defined. The world is very well-defined. So she's, and she's just fun. Like, her writing is really fun. So you might like that, Tarek. And it's not just teen assassins. It has more to it than that, which is always really good. You know, I like books that have more than just one level. So, yes, the idea might be teen assassins, but you might throw in some, like, X-Men-like abilities or something fun, you know? Like, you have to have a little bit more to it. It has to have more depth than just
epic.
This one
thing. Oh, yeah, X-Men I can get behind. I can do X-Men.
Oh, did I forget to mention that? In some cases, like, Mind Games may have that kind of element to it, where they all have different
things. If there's X-Men in it, I can totally do that. That would be great. I love X-Men.
Yes, X-Men is fantastic. So that's kind of the other trend that's coming. There's also a book by Rachel Hawkins called Rebel Belle that's coming out, and I think that's not coming out until probably late fall. And it also has the idea of teen assassins, and I believe April Lynn Pike also has one coming out as well. But like I said, the teen assassin thing is much more kind of in the fall, in winter, than it is right now. But those are the books kind of on the rise and coming in the near future, we shall say.
Cool.
Yes. So those are kind of the cool things coming up in the book world that are relevant. And if you guys think that there are any trends out there, listeners, I'm talking to you, that you want to discuss or that you think are up and coming and on the rise, please feel free to leave it in the comments. And that's something we can look at next time and talk about. Because I think everybody has a different look on what is coming out in books. Like, sometimes you may see something and be like, well, there's this one book and it's really amazing and it's doing really well. So that can spawn other publishing houses to pick up books that are similar in topic or trend, because they know that that's going to be the next big trend. And that's kind of like what happened with The Hunger Games. It's not like because everyone saw The Hunger Games was going to be this huge hit, or was a huge hit, so everyone started to write dystopian novels. It just happened to be that people actually had these books written, and other publishing houses, realizing that this was going to be a big deal, decided to pick up those books. Because I know a lot of times people feel that, oh, well, The Hunger Games is written, and Veronica Roth just wanted to hop on that bandwagon. That's why she wrote Divergent. Divergent was written before The Hunger Games was ever published. It just wasn't picked up by a publishing house because it wasn't right at the time. But because of the success, then it was right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not right. What the reason they were written. It's the reason they were marketed the way that they were.
Right, and I think a lot of times people miss that point. Like, a lot of times people think, oh, well, you're writing that because it's what's hot right now. And in some cases, that is true. There are people out there, or there are things called packaging, which is where an organization like Alloy Entertainment, they're really good about packaging. They'll give a topic to a writer and say, this is what you're going to write about. And have them write the book off of what, like, their kind of writing prompt was, in a sense. And then they market it and do whatever with it. And so there are some things out there like that. But at the same time, people have their own ideas. And a lot of times they kind of have written something and it may have been sitting around for a year or two. And then someone realizes, wait, this is kind of the movement in books right now. This is what we want to buy. So this is what we're looking for. And that's kind of how trends come about, because you get one thing that kind of hits big and everybody wants to have their piece of that pie. So they pick up books that have similar themes.
Yeah.
And welcome to the world of trends.
Yay.
Just like in fashion, it kind of happens that way. And again, like in fashion, there are things you don't ever want to see again, but they keep cropping up. So this pretty much wraps up tonight's episode of Book Hype. However, we want to give you guys a heads up that in our upcoming episode of Book Hype, we will be reading and discussing City of a Thousand Dolls by Miriam Forrester. That's our book for this next book hype. And we're going to read it, talk about it. We'll post some questions that you guys will see us talking about, and we can have a big discussion about it in the comment section. So that'll be for our next one in about 2 weeks. And we did post it a while back that that was the book that we were reading. So hopefully you guys have read it and will be interested in hearing about what we have to say about it. It's kind of a high fantasy novel, so I think it will have a lot of appeal to lots of people. It was a pretty good book. So,
yay!
Woo, books! So that pretty much wraps up this episode. As always, you guys can reach us at BookHype, which is our Twitter handle. And you can always leave comments in any of the book posts or contact any of us via our hypeable emails. We are happy to entertain questions and thoughts and comments. So thank you guys for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Tarek.
And I'm Marima.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.